Blog Talk Radio.
When life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all you need. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes. So write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out loud.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. It is episode number 404 and broadcasting to you out of central Kentucky, Lexington in particular. This is Stephen Zimmer joining you. Yes, shout out to the band Far Cry. Thank you very much for the great intro music. Love that. Always has good energy leading into a new show, and we've got a good one for you tonight. Joining me in the co-hosting seat tonight will be the lovely, the vivacious, and loquacious Holly Phillippe. She's running just a couple minutes behind, but will be joining me in just a couple of seconds. Chat room is open. If you have any trouble logging in, just make sure to refresh your page. Sometimes it does get a little finicky there, but it does usually work and has, knock on wood, it's been back on track lately. So we always take questions and comments and all kinds of good stuff from there. So be sure to check that out if you are online tonight. And, yes, keep spreading the word, folks. Keep spreading the word about the podcast. We've had some great interviews and some great discussions, and tonight will be no exceptions. We'll call it the Valentine's Night Special. Why not? We'll call it the Valentine's Night Special. And hope those of you that are celebrating Valentine's Day have had a great one filled with chocolate and all kinds of indulgences and good fun. Yes, for me, it's been quite the gauntlet lately because yesterday was Holly's birthday. It was also our 8th anniversary, and then today being Valentine's Day. So you can imagine the tasks that I have every year at this time. So, but so far, so good. But hope you all are having a good midday and good week so far. And, of course, the Star Chamber Show live podcast is affiliated with the Imaginarium Convention. So we always like to give you the news and the updates as they happen, and every week get you caught up in all things Imaginarium. And this week we do have some cool stuff to share with you. We have no less than 4 brand new panelists that have come aboard, and then we also have added 3 new workshops, and they are all really, really good. So we'll go ahead and give you an overview of the latest panelists that will be joining us this summer that you will be able to meet and network with. Be sure to check them out on their panels and get a chance to meet them. Imaginarium, very easy to meet guests and actually speak with them, not always the case at larger conventions. And, yes, it's a really, really good environment for that. So with that being said, we are going to be welcoming back Rose Marie Machario. She is awesome, and she is just a multi-talented individual, an author, screenwriter, filmmaker, actor, musician, and cosplayer. And also coming next summer will be Les Murphy, who is a filmmaker, an actor, and a musician, and also a mighty fine individual, if I might say so myself. Great guy, absolutely great guy. Then also we will be joined next summer by Lorena Peter, who will be coming back to join us. Definitely somebody that's a favorite in our programming. She is an author, artist, and screenwriter. And then the fourth and last but not least, of course, is M.L. McIntosh, and she is an author and musician. But, yes, we have some musician credits in this group, author credits, screenwriting credits. Yes, so many of these guests are multi-talents, and, I mean, just amazing, amazing people. And I do encourage you to meet all of them. You know, they're definitely a wonderful group is building up. You know, we'll have around 200 this summer, along with, of course, in 130-plus panels and workshops, so, and all that great programming. But speaking of those workshops, we have three new additions that have been confirmed. And we'll go ahead and give the title and a little bit about them. And the presenters, the three new workshops that have been added are Draw Me a Story. The presenter is J.C. Daniels, who also writes under Shiloh Walker. It's basically how to use visual aids to craft compelling characters. It's going to be very, very effective for any character-driven stories. We are also going to have How to Plot Out Your First or Next Bestseller. The presenter is Ava Vertris, and participants are going to be exploring all kinds of plotting that are out there, very established methods for plotting. And then Ava is going to be detailing her method of plotting, and we'll walk participants through it and how she finds it to be more practical and easier to follow as a writer, especially if you have multiple characters and storylines. But yes, if you're ensemble casts, if you're doing series, that kind of thing, this is going to be one you do not want to miss, and handouts, of course, will be provided to guide you through the process. And then recent Star Chamber show guest Lynn Tincher is the presenter of Interviewing Your Characters, and it's a hands-on writing workshop. In this one, the writers work together, conduct an interview of their main characters, and then they'll write a short story based on the character the class has created. The writers will then do that. And so, yeah, that's going to be a really, really cool workshop. So, yes, three brand-new writing workshops. I do see others that are going up on the board. I just was not able to get a final confirmation from Holly on them yet. But I've seen several more brewing that are pretty much 99% confirmed. So next Wednesday, I guarantee I'll have many more to share with you. But, yes, three new ones have been added. And, of course, that is, just the last week. New workshops, new panelists, and, new stuff happening all the time. We do have some opportunities we're exploring to bring some additional things to Imaginarium. So if you are inclined, please do consider becoming one of our individual patrons. It's a one-time, it's not like Patreon. It's a one-time $75 fee, and it's an individual sponsorship, but they help a lot. And also, of course, we do have a very affordably priced sponsorship packages. Many of our levels are very affordably priced and include expo space. And so take a look at our sponsorships, both individual patron and other levels, and give that some thought. Really helps, and it really helps us to be able to bring in a few more things. And things are chugging right now. So we do have opportunities. So if you feel inclined, we could definitely use your support in that. And yes, chat room wants to shout out to Dewan Hearn. Yes, he gave me a good laugh today with a post earlier involving incidences of sharks ingesting cocaine off the coast of Florida. I have read about that before, the cocaine sharks. Yeah, who knows? I think that'd be a crazy, crazy movie. But I replied to him that, yes, wait till it gets down into the deep and the megalodons get some of that cocaine. What could happen then? Meg 3, the third Meg movie, could be one heck of a movie if they jump to that kind of plot line. But that was quite a bit of fun. I enjoyed that post today from Moon, yes, as he is called. He is awesome. Yeah, those days when you're working as an indie author and everything else, and you really do need those good laughs during the day. Yeah, for sure. But before I get going here, we are going to take a look at tonight's folks that brought you tonight's show. And tonight we have, of course, the dynamic duo of Per Bastet Publications, and then also, of course, Sandy Lender, the genre blender, as we always say on the show. Yeah, thank you to both, but I'll go ahead and give you a little bit about Per Bastet, and then I'll come over and give you a little bit about Sandy. So here we go. Per Bastet. Per Bastet Publications is a small press based in the Louisville metro area, specializing in speculative fiction and other outside-the-box books. With 40 titles in print and ebook formats and a handful of audiobooks, Per Bastet offers a little bit of everything. While the investigations of Private Eye David Blaze and M.B. Dabney's An Untidy Affair, a historical mystery set during the 1985 police bombing of the Move House in Philadelphia, or join the psychic private investigator Alan Rodriguez in New Mexico in A Handful of Dirt by Janie Franz as he tries to clear an elderly man wrongfully accused of murder. You can find these titles and more at PerBastetPublications.com at Amazon, or you can find the press in person at Inca Junction in Indianapolis and Louisville's Imaginarium Convention in July and Prime Crime in Indianapolis in October. PerBastet Publications, where timeless tales unfold. And yes, PerBastet, great, great folks. As I call them, the literary triumvirate, or you can call them literary trifecta, as it were. Of course, you know, the state of Kentucky, trifecta is a wonderful word here in the state of Kentucky in our horse racing industry, with in terms of how much of a gem it is when you're betting on something. But I love it. But yes, it's T. Lee Harris, Sarah Marion, and Marion Allen. Can't go wrong betting on those three when it comes to the written word. Yeah, definitely great publishers, great writers, great people, and just, yeah, absolutely wonderful. Check them out and tell them you heard about us on the show, definitely. And now I'll come over and give you a little bit from Sandy in her own words. And while you're on the show, folks, head on over to her YouTube channel and give it a subscription and hit that notification bell, because she has a great BookTube channel. Is just, I mean, she's just cranking out content on there all the time, and it's good, good stuff. So, yeah, do that while you're on the show, when you're online tonight. But here's Sandy.
February is the month of love, and author Sandy Lender has something cynical and satirical with just the right amount of romance to make you swoon. It's Vampire Satire, set in the Rocky Mountains in her Fairy Holidays series. Welcome to the Rose Chateau, where ghosts and vampires team up with fairies against trolls and monsters. Check out the crazy adventure of My Fairy Valentine from Sandy Lender, wherever fine books are sold, and fall in love with vampires again. And if you just want some romantic read recommendations this month, check out the Sandy Says Read BookTube channel on YouTube.
That's right, folks. Sandy Says Read. I love it. Tag Sandy Says Read. And I will go ahead and kind of bring our guest aboard in just a minute. But first, it looks like Holly has logged in. So let's hope that her mic is on and she's ready to go. We're checking in with her now. Holly Phillippe, are you there?
I'm here, and I am going to try to push through and stay here. I am, I'm a little nauseated, so, we're going to do the best medicine, so, yeah.
Okay, we'll try to keep you calm then. Just don't get too excited, even though our guest is exciting, and the book is exciting that our guest has because you've been reading it, but we'll get into that in a minute.
I have been.
Stay calm. But I do want to give you a chance before our guest comes on, because, of course, I gave all the updates. I told them all about the latest four panelists and new workshops that have been added. Are there any notes or anything that you'd like to add today
if you've already discussed the new workshops I added. Okay.
I did. Well, and I even told them all about our exciting week, even though we had to postpone one thing today. But it was fun to go out with you to, of course, our eighth anniversary dinner at Joseph Beth Booksellers and their bistro, where we have literally sat. It's where we sat for our very first date, same table, same restaurant, same table. Every year we go there, and this year was no exception. So we had that, and they loved, the Joseph Beth people loved it. They even put out a sign for us on the table with our names.
They did.
They really treated us good, but that was a great and special night, and I had a lot of fun. And it does kind of harmonize with the whole Valentine's Day theme as well, even though that was yesterday. What does not harmonize necessarily with Valentine's Day is the other adventure of which Moon is very proud of us. Yes, we went to see Monday Night Raw in Lexington, Kentucky. WWE fun. Like I said, I've gotten into it thanks to Holly Strever, younger grandkids, who are almost teenagers all. One's 12, one's 13, one's 15. But they've sucked me back into the world of wrestling the last couple few years. And I have to admit, I love it. I look at it with different eyes since I took a long hiatus. It's just such an amalgam of storytelling as far as like episodic storytelling, theater and athleticism kind of all woven together in this this interesting concoction that is just intensely entertaining when you look at it in those terms, and that through a storytelling kind of eye. It's really amazing, and I had a blast, and of course the fireworks and the lights, and I mean it's like a rock concert kind of a spectacle. It's lots of yelling. You get your voice hoarse, and yeah, it was a lot of fun. Enjoyed it thoroughly. And Holly made it through okay too. Yeah,
I got some people hollering around me. I was hollering smack, all kinds of stuff, and getting them going, especially with Rhea Ripley. I was like, "We want mommy."
Yeah, the Rhea Ripley chat.
Fun,
yes.
You know?
And she only unfortunately came out for like 2 minutes, but hey, it was great. At least she did come out.
We met these two girls standing in line, and they come in with us, and they ended up of all, there's like 20,000 people there, and they sit two rows in front of us. So they were turned around cracking up because I was being my loud self, you know, and having a ball.
Peaceful. Don't worry, folks. Holly did not get into any brawls. I know some of you are thinking of it, but no fights. And there were no fights and evidence anywhere. Everybody always thinks, oh, my God, people must go crazy at wrestling events. Nope, no. The people were very loud and yelled a lot of funny stuff. I mean, you'd be belly laughing at some of the comments people make. But they, very, very great crowd, probably about 15 to 17,000 somewhere in that neighborhood. But absolutely great. And, that gives us some good energy. I wish we had, the ability. Well, it's an audio podcast, hard to do. We'd love to do one of those grand entrances with lasers and smoke and fireworks for our guest tonight. So just imagine it, folks. Just imagine, lasers, smoke, and fireworks, and some really awesome rocking music as I get into this introduction here. But tonight, joining us for the very first time on the Star Chamber Show live podcast, and also joining us next summer, on at Imaginarium Convention is tonight's guest, who is an author, and she has an exciting new novel, A Fury, that blends many genre elements, including romance, thriller, gothic, time travel, and suspense, and guess what? It is also a vampire novel. Yes, yes, yes. So Holly will be talking about that. But joining us tonight and welcoming onto the show for the very first time, it is my honor and privilege to introduce to you Ava Vertris. Ava, welcome to the show. Your mic is now on.
Awesome. Can you hear me?
Yes,
we can.
Loud and clear.
Hello. What an introduction.
Yes. You're welcome.
How do I come into something like that?
just like you did. Yeah, just imagine. It is an audio podcast, so we couldn't do the full visuals that I was describing, but everybody is a creative listening to the show, so they got it. I'm sure they did.
Great
to talk to you.
Thank you, Stephen. Yeah, thank you, Holly, so much for having me.
I've been watching you for a little.
Tell you, it's Ava Vertris.
Ava Vertris, no problem. No. Ava Vertris.
Okay.
We got it. We got it. But
hey, you work just as well.
All right, Ava. Well, I tell you what, we have been. I've become kind of aware of you since for a few months ago when I noticed that you were doing a book signing with our mutual friend Dan Klefstad, who has a new DIY book promo release that's going to be amazing coming out on February 28th. I had to do a quick plug there because, God, it's going to be a good one. He's an amazing guy. But the two of you were doing a signing at Fabled Forest Bookstore in Georgetown, Kentucky.
Yes.
Fabled Forest is a great place, and we love Bobby Craig and everything she's doing there. The two of you did a signing, and that's where it's kind of like you came on our radar, and I thought your book looked really interesting, and I started to learn a little bit about you, and I talked to Dan and things like that, and I did. Unfortunately, that day, we've had all kinds of adventures here with on the family side, so that was one of the days we couldn't get up there that weekend, and together, like Holly and I couldn't, so unfortunately we missed the signing live, but I did have you on the radar at that point. And after that, of course, you know, I definitely wanted to get you onto the show. And Holly, you know, of course, when all things vampire with Holly. And then so when she learned that you had a vampire novel, I mean, she's already aboard. That's all you have to – Holly is the easiest to sell when it comes to books. Just say it's got vampires.
I'm a vampire, so
you have to mention
vampire. Yeah. I'm on.
And so, yeah, Holly has actually been reading your book
and is almost
finished, but she's down to the last bit. And if it wasn't for
this week being as crazy as it was,
the stomach flu thing
for the past week, and I am, you know, not doing so well right now, but I'm going to push through this. And But, yeah, I didn't get it done. I was hoping to get it done today, but that didn't happen because I didn't even feel like reading, which is terrible, but I didn't.
Well, then I won't get the spoiler and ending away.
Well, that's right. Don't give the ending. But it is so – oh, my gosh. I am so pulled into it. So the sessions I have sit down, I'm just flipping through pages. I'm going through fast because you don't want to put it down once you're into it. And, well, that's a good sign, you know.
That's one of the tips that I hear from so many people is that once they pick it up, and it's the greatest compliment that I can have as an author is for somebody to tell me that once they pick it up, they can't put it down.
That's it. That's it. You just don't want to put it down. You get wrapped in there, and your way of describing the setting and the character development, I mean, it does. It just pulls you in, and you're right there with them, you know. And, yeah, I mean – Some writers, you know, are good at descriptive words or whatever, but they really immerse you, pull you in to where you're blocking everything out around you. You are there. You are that type of writer. I mean, I was right there with them. I love how you're bringing the religion aspect into and doing little twists and, you know, there's plot twists and it's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Because, you know,
I share your love of vampires. I am all about vampires. I've been all about vampires my entire life. And the moment I heard that you were all about Bobby was like, oh, I've got to introduce you to Holly. She would absolutely love this. And I was like, please introduce me. You know, get me with Holly because we're as vampire lovers are just, you know, we're that unique kind. And then, Stephen, I have an affinity for bourbon, so I understand I could bond with you as well.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, that is something
we have a lot to talk about, yes.
Yeah, bourbon is the one thing I can be bribed with. That's all he says.
I'll let you explain the synopsis and go into it.
Yes.
But I do have some questions and comments once you get into it. I don't want to start blurting out stuff and you haven't even explained to the audience yet, so I will let you do that.
All right. Well, you know, it's really funny because it started out as just something that I noodled for like several years, and I didn't intend to become a writer. It was really funny. I didn't even discover that I loved writing until around 2015. You know, I'd read in school, and my mom was an avid reader. She's a huge Stephen King fan, and you know, I grew up with. We always had the we liked the scary movies and we liked, you know, and I've always liked vampires. But what really did it for me was I used to go into Joseph S. when I was little. And for some reason, I just always had it in my head, you know, it'd be really, really cool to walk in here and see one of my books on the shelf. Not thinking I would ever do it, but I was like, you know, that'd be just something really cool. And then in 2015, I decided to write, and I wrote a small book, and you know, self-published it. Went through. I wanted to learn. I wanted to learn about how you do it, and went to a couple of conventions. And really, it was a book called Self-Publishing for Virgins by Bobby Decay, that I literally followed line by line with the first book, and I learned about self-publishing. And then I learned that I really, really loved to write. So, you know, I've never been one to go small at all. So I was like, you know, I've been noodling this story for, oh, I don't know, several years now. Let's just go in and make a trilogy.
Might as well.
Yeah, I mean, go big or go home. And
that's right.
So I started writing it. And, one of the things that I wanted was I in all of the vampire movies and books, and you know, you don't ever really, there are not many female vampires. You know, they're always secondary characters. And
right.
I wanted
they're
one
the love
that
interest.
Was yeah. And I wanted yeah. one that was I wanted one that was the main character.
Yeah,
and
love it.
I wanted her to not have a problem with being a vampire.
Exactly. Not be moaning and growing
it.
Like Louis, you know, good old Louis
yeah.
from Interview
yeah.
with a Vampire. We watched that last night, and I told Stephen, I said, that man, he whined and grinded. And I said, he never lost his humanity. And Lestat's like, she laughs at him, which I thought was funny. But yes, I love it that your vampire embraces their vampirism.
Yeah, and she also has a side to her that, you know, she a lot like me, there's certain things that I just find, she's a lot of me. For example, I hate rudeness, and she hates rudeness.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, she, the way that she was turned is not all wine and roses at all.
Right.
You know, it's very brutal. And so she has this side to her that carries forward from that. And I just wanted a very powerful female that embraced what she was. And then you add in Lilith, who is the Lilith. And what I love is I love growing up in the household that I grew up in, you know, it was I learned about a lot of mythology and history and things like that. And I wanted to pull in biblical, historical, mythological. And so most of the characters in my book, you can Google, and
right.
they're real people. And I just took their stories and wove it into mine. So Lilith is Lilith.
Well, and I wanted to give you kudos. That's what I wanted to first bring up was the fact that if people don't know, you guys can do research on Lilith. There's two sides of that. There's the Lilith that you hear from like Jewish, you know, mythos is that, you know, she was the first woman created by God. It was not Eve. It was Lilith. And Lilith was defiant because she didn't want to listen to Adam, which I wouldn't have listened to him either. So, you know, I kudos to her. So, I get it. I get it. But, you know, and they just think that was awful, made her the mother of demons and all. But in Wiccan, you know, the religion of Wicca, she's not.
Mm-hmm.
She's revered as a strong female that went against patriarchy. She wasn't defiant to God per se, but she wasn't going to bow down to everything that Adam wanted her to do. She wasn't going to be that subservient wife, you know, to him.
Right.
She had her own mind, and she had her, you know, her own future hopes and goals, and so she's actually revered, you know, which I've told Stephen because he'd only heard the bad. I'm like, no, she's actually revered. She's not bad. I don't think she's demonic at all. I think what she done was, well, I can relate because, yeah, I'm not subservient to no one and never will be.
Right.
So I can't relate to that. But, yeah, I do give you kudos for that, that you bring in that side of Lilith, you know, because usually when you're reading about her, she's this terrible demonic character, all dark, all, you know, eating babies and, you know, stuff like that. But, yeah, I appreciate it, yeah, the way you put her in there.
I wanted to take the story and you know, just see it from a different angle. I mean, everything that I try to do is I take what's historical or biblical or mythological, and I wanted to twist it and just kind of go at it from a different angle. You know, what if those were machinations, you know,
right.
created to make her seem evil?
Right.
You know, like this is the first of a trilogy, so there's two more books to follow. I'm writing the second one now. And, you know, I like bending and mashing things together. So, you know, it's by the end of this trilogy, you're not going to know who's good, who's bad. You know, I tell everyone, you know, it revolves around a ring that has the power of two angels, that the key to a power struggle an angelic power struggle in heaven, and it's going to pull in heaven, hell, and everything in between. And by the time it's over, I love questioning, you know, who's good, who's bad, what's evil, what's good. You know, you're going to kind of wonder. I'm going to cross so many sides, it's not even funny.
Which is great, because, you know, going back to my beloved Lestat, which I'll always go back to, but, you know, he's this character that you have to love him, but my gosh,
oh, yeah.
You know, some of the things he has done is just bad, terrible, horrible. He's just this horrible person, but I love him dearly, you know. He's had a lot of redemption, too, but, yeah, he's one of these characters you just love to hate, you know. You love him, but you also hate him, and I like that. I like that. And I think humanity is like that. We all have two sides. We have a light side. We have a dark side. So, you know, you're just pulling that out and making it more obvious.
Well, and I love the fact that you love Anne Rice is my all-time favorite author. I mean,
oh,
I have
me too.
Everything she's ever done. I have signed books. I have.
Yep. Yeah, I did too. I got 3 signed books right here on my bedside dresser. Here. Yeah.
I love Lestat. Love, love, love Lestat.
Yes.
I love New Orleans. I love everything Anne Rice.
Yeah. I'm the same. Stephen, he chuckles. But yeah. I'm like my beloved Lestat.
We need to get
Lestat.
Together and compare collections.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
But, yeah,
I said
know,
I
really love, and for example, one of the characters that Edward Lee, he was, so John Dee was the occult advisor to Queen Elizabeth I, and he was John Dee's apprentice. And, you know, then I'm reading and I'm seeing that he was also into alchemy. His death was very mysterious at age 45. And he was also reportedly to be working on the Sorcerer's Stone. So I'm like, oh,
right.
I can play with that.
Yeah, I loved, you said the Sorcerer's Stone, and I'm like, ooh.
And the Enochian alphabet, and, you know, and then there's Mnemosyne and the 9 Muses. I mean, I just love pulling all of that in.
Oh, and it's great. You know, you weave it all into this nice little braid at work, and yeah, it's fantastic.
Thank you.
Anybody that likes to read any kind of like supernatural, you don't have to be a vampire fanatic. You just into the supernatural at all or religion aspect of drawing in books. Yeah, you definitely should pick this one up. And I'm going to have
you.
A hard time waiting for the second one. I've seen the cover reveal today.
That's what everybody says. My beta group is screaming for
yeah.
They're like, you know, get it to me, get it to me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be hard. Now I'm not going to want to finish it for a little bit because I'm going to be like, oh, if I get done, you know, I got to wait now.
I just have to ask you one question. This is the question
yes.
Everybody loves. What did you think of Chapter 13?
Chapter 13. Well, chapter 13 is well named. Should I let me go back to chapter 13. I got the book here, and I can read the first line here. Let's find that sucker.
So
I'm telling you, that is some of the hottest. I told Steve, you write some of the hottest sex scenes that I have ever read in my life. I was like, you could tell
this was written by
a woman.
I want to set the scene for that. Holly and I love to read together. We like to be in the same room and read together. We enjoy that. And so I've been starting to reread Clive Barker's Books of Blood recently and love those stories. Very influential to me. And Holly was reading your book. And we were sitting opposite each other, like she's on the love seat and I was on a couch. And we were, of course, reading away. I had my glass of bourbon by me, of course, and enjoying that. And but, yes, right in the middle of that, all of a sudden Holly pipes up. She goes, this could be the best sex scene I have ever read, just out of the blue. And I'm just like, look up, and I go, oh.
And I just had to put it down for a minute and state that. And he goes, oh, okay. And I said, you can definitely tell it was written by a woman because a man wouldn't have got all that, you know.
That's the only chapter that gets more comments than any of the rest of the book.
Oh, my God. Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. And, I don't read romance novels or nothing. I would say, you know, I don't read romance novels much or anything like that, but, you know, yeah, vampire erotica and stuff I've read, but this one took the cake. I'll tell you. That was a doozy. And I'm going to read, if you don't mind, well, if you don't mind, I'll just read the first sentence, and it gives the up-leading here. Now, is it Caterin? Am I saying that right?
Caterin, yes.
Yes, Caterin closed.
Caterin.
Closed the elevator door, hit a button labeled P, turned, and was on me, backing me into the corner and engulfing me. That's the first sentence.
Nice.
Yeah, that one gets a lot of traction.
I'm like,
nobody can talk to me about the book without talking about chapter 13. It's really comical.
Oh, man. Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
13 is Holly's favorite number, by the way. She picked the perfect chapter for that. That's her birthday date, February 13th.
Yeah, my birthday was yesterday, you know, so the 13th.
Well, 13 fits across the board here. It's perfect.
Well, you know, it's funny. Mine's March 13th, so that's my lucky number as well.
There you go. I turned the big 5-0. I'm excited. I made it half a century. I feel accomplished.
Yes.
I leveled up. 4 years older. So 4 years old.
Well, there you go. We have leveled up.
We really are kindred spirits.
That's right. And neither one of us look our age. So, yeah,
that's true.
We got that, too. Well, see,
commented. That's fun. Yeah, Holly gets all the weird looks when she tells people she has grandkids. They're like shocked. They always assume she's the mother.
Well, the one will be 16 in March. My oldest will be 16 in March. And they're like,
oh, my
what?
Goodness.
Yeah.
What? No, I was like, I started young, but yeah.
Somebody said when they found out your age, they said, you really are a vampire.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. I was in yesterday's feed, an author with Jill Long. She's like, Holly,
that's
there's
it,
no
Jill
way
Long.
You're 50.
Yeah.
She's like, I thought, you know, you were much, you know, younger than me, and you really are a vampire.
Yeah, that's like, yep. I have a son that's 30, and I have a son that's 36, I think. He'll be 36.
Yeah,
and everybody just, like, looks at me, and I'm like, the math works, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got two in their 30s. One's 35, mm-hmm. one's 32, and then I've got one that's 28, be 29 this year, and then the mm-hmm. one that's 25. So, yeah, they're, mm-hmm. yeah, they're getting up there.
But see, that particular author, Eva, I blew Jill Long's mind then because I revealed to her, I said, I am 633. I bet you thought I was younger too.
He always says he don't look a day over, 500?
500. I don't look a day over 500. That's right. So I'm doing all right on that front. But yes, this is awesome.
Bourbon. We'll blame the bourbon.
Yeah. It's the red wine for me.
Yeah, it's the secret to extended life. Yeah, good bourbon, exactly.
Oh, Lord, but we do have to say one more tidbit. We were at dinner last night, and, of course, me being me brings it up because I'm sitting there drinking a very dark red wine, and I'm like, this is beautiful. This is truly the color of blood. And she's like, yeah, honey, it is. Yeah, that's pretty close, you know.
Yeah, for me, it's a normal comment. I'm used to these from Holly.
And then I'm like, man, this would make great blood wine. And he's like, honey, I think that's illegal. And I said, well, I need to figure out a way to make it legal.
Now, see, I'm usually going for the perfect blood red nail color. I've got to find the perfect blood red nail color.
If I do paint my nails, which I usually don't even take care of my nails, but if I do, I got to have that deep, deep red or black, you know, my inner goth.
Yep. Yep, you got to pull out that inner goth.
Yeah.
Which is funny because when I grew up, I was goth before goth was goth. So
there you go. That's right. we were embracing all of that back in the day. And I grew up, you know, when I was little. Who was your favorite vampire growing up? Because when I was little, man, I told Mom all through my childhood, I'm like, when I grow up, I'm going to marry me a vampire. And I said that all my childhood. And she's like, okay, Holly, you're weird. Whatever, you know.
Who was my favorite vampire growing up? You know, I don't know that I had a favorite. You know, I think what started it, you know, and was, you know, Salem's Lot and kind of the traditional, you know, the usuals. That kind of got it started. But I fell in love with this series, and it was only out for one season. It was called Kindred the Embrace. And I just fell in love with this series. And it had the main character. Oh, you don't know that one. Oh, my gosh, you've got to look it up. Oh, my gosh. It's about these different vampire clans. And it's so good. It is so good. And the leader of one of the clans is just, he's so good looking. And then, of course, you got it.
Kindred the Embrace.
Kindred the Embraced, yes.
I will be looking
for this. Awesome series. It's got, you know, the. They even have a clan called the Nosferatu. They look like Nosferatu, and they kind of stay in the shadows. And then there's the one clan that runs all the nightclubs, and one club that runs the city. It's the best.
And that was on when we were younger.
And then, of course, everybody loved. I can't think of his name, but the old Fright Night. I just used to think that disco scene was just the best thing ever. When they go into the club.
Yes. Love that scene.
And it was just like, oh my gosh, that was it for me. So, and then I started getting into, you know, Anne Rice and Interview you know, I did read one that really bothered me, and I read it, and I said, this is one of the best books I've ever read in my life. I'll never read it again. is I Am Legend. Mm-hmm. I was like, I never want to read this again. But now that book was really, that was impactful. Very, very good book. I just kind of the normal stuff. I love the Bram Stoker's Dracula with Winona Ryder you know, that one. Anything. I'm kind of like you. Anything vampire, I'm in.
Did you catch on Netflix? It's on Netflix now. I forget what channel it was on back in the day when we all had satellite dishes and we didn't stream. I forget what station it was on, but it was just called Dracula. And
yes.
It was phenomenal. And they only did one series, and it broke my heart.
I've got it on DVD.
I was going to say, he was so hot and just, I mean, just oozed the sensuality of vampirism. And, you know, he was like this inventor in the turn of the century.
What a great spin on the storyline.
Right? And I'm like, why didn't this continue? I don't understand it.
Well, I know why they had to stop it. It's because he was an alcoholic, the actor. And so because I actually looked into it. I was like, why isn't this going for a season two?
Right.
But, yeah, he kind of stayed drunk the whole time.
Oh, no. And I just loved him.
Oh, it was great. That was a great the ending of it. I could just rewind the ending of the season. I would just sit there and rewind it over and over again.
Oh, it was phenomenal. Phenomenal. And have you thought about screenwriting, turning these into a screenplay?
You know, it's so funny because one of the things that everybody tells me is that when they're reading it, they can see it as a movie. They see it as a movie in their head.
Oh, yeah. That me too.
Everybody tells me that. I've never even tried to screenwrite. I wouldn't even know how to screenwrite. Steven, I understand you do a little bit of it, or you do screenwriting, but, you know, I wouldn't even know where to begin. but I know that my style of writing, a lot of authors tell you how a scene is. They're very, very descriptive. I like to put my action in the dialogue and as they're doing it. And I
right.
think that's probably why a lot of people see it in their head as a movie. You know, I have thought about, you know, what if it became a movie? There's one scene where they're walking into the nightclub, and I know exactly what song I want playing. If it's ever turned into a movie, I know exactly what song I want playing as they walk into that. So there's a song called Hungry, and it's just the perfect, like the way it flows, it's just the perfect. I can just visualize them getting out of the car and walking in. And
yes, have it.
Just,
have you thought about
I'm like,
actors?
That song's got to be in it.
Have you thought about actors? Because I know, you know, a lot of authors, they think about, you know, oh, this actor would be great to play this part.
I really haven't. I wanted to keep the characters in my head because I still have two more books to write. So I don't
right.
want that vision of them in my head to be skewed as I'm writing
right.
the other two. Now, the one thing I did do is I was so excited about the book, and I love the character so much that I actually had them tattooed on my leg.
Really?
Yes, I got, I was so proud of them, and I'm not done, but I have my tattoo artist is Travis King at Prophecy Inc. in Louisville, and I went to him and I said, hey, I've got this idea. Will you help me? And he was all for it. And so I gave him descriptions of the characters from the book. And then I gave him some actors and or, you know, images that I went on and looked up. And I said, you know, this is kind of how I see Lilith. And this is kind of how I see Rachel. And this is how I see Catern. And this is how I see Belial. And
right.
I told him, I said, you know, can you help me craft... I said, I want your artwork, but can you help me kind of craft this? And he did an amazing job. I did tell him that Belial was completely his. I said, because you have way more experience with demons than I do. so I said, Belial's going to present yours. But he did. He crafted out the ring. He took the Enochian symbols, put it in the ring. The symbols on the ring spell... Through Time Together Bound. He put a brand on Catern's arm that he went and researched the angel Nuriel, and he put that
yeah.
brand on his arm. He did a phenomenal job.
Wow.
So I'm getting ready to have professional photos made, and I'm going to actually use that to kind of show people how I see the characters. So that
oh,
was
that's
something
cool.
that I went through all of that trouble to write the book, and I really wanted to kind of immortalize it. So that's how I did it.
Well, I think
very
that's
cool.
awesome. Yeah, I,
yeah,
I
I'll send you pictures.
I never had thought about that. I don't think I've ever heard of it. You think it'd be more common, and maybe it is, but I don't think nobody on the show has ever talked about getting one of their characters tattooed on them. That's like
no,
the
I think
time I've heard of that.
404 shows. I think that's the first.
What?
Yeah.
And you uh-huh. think, seriously, you would think it'd be a common
yeah.
thing, you know? But, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, I'm not done.
Cool.
I've decided that the entire right leg will be the literary me, and then the left leg will be the kind of the me, you know, not the non-literary side. But I'm going to add Edward. I'm going to add Sanoy, San Angeloff, and then some of the newer characters. I've got ideas for the new characters, and there's always going to be the ultimate bad guy who I haven't revealed yet, and he'll go on there. And so I'll have the entire Fury trilogy world tattooed.
Oh, that's cool.
So
that is
it's kind of different.
Cool.
People think I'm crazy, but I'm like, whatever.
No, I don't. I think that's fantastic. And it's a way to immortalize. And with the tattoo, you know, I finally got one a few years back. Me and my daughter got one, and it was Miss Tofana. She, long story short, she was back in like the 1400s, Italy. And, you know, back then, if a husband didn't want you no more, he would say you committed adultery and, you know, get you killed or put you in a loony bin or, you know, somewhere like that. And they just got rid of you. And if they were really abusive, too bad, nobody cared, you know. And
right.
So Mrs. Tofana made little vials of poison, had all these different herbs, you know, the nightingale, the, you know, all the good stuff. And she put it and she spelled them. And so wives would come. So she actually never killed nobody, but she gave them the vials, you know, they'd come and buy them from her. And it's estimated that she offed probably near, well, she was responsible for offing near about 1,800 men, but they think the count is much higher.
Wow.
So the actual poison was called Aqua Tofana. And Bailey Sarian is a YouTuber that does murders, makeup, mystery. And she's actually how me and my daughter, because we watch her, found out about Aqua Tofana, and we're like, well, that's it, because, you know, I've been in my past, I had two marriages, my first and second, very abusive, very just horrid, and so these tattoos represent, and she's been through stuff too, my daughter, so it represents us coming through and not being victims, being warriors, and not letting, you know, the men get us down.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And you look at them, and you know, you want something on you, because it's going to be with you for the rest of your life, you know, however many years that is. And you want something on you you enjoy looking at.
Mm-hmm.
That makes you think of things. Or the colors, you know, we have certain colors put in it, you know, our favorite colors and different things. And and it's just absolutely beautiful, and we like to look at it. It's on my forearm on the inside here. But, yeah, I like to look at it. Stephen doesn't agree with me, but I like it.
Well, I get to, you know, I get to look at my leg, and I get to see, you know, every day I get to see these characters and something that I created and brought to life. And, yeah.
Yeah, how cool is that?
And writing really does take on a life of its own. One of the things I discovered is, you know, when I first started, I outlined everything. You know, I had the whole story outlined, how it was going to go and, what, you know, what scenes and everything. And then halfway through, it took a life of its own. And it veered so far off where I was planning on it going. Mm-hmm. But it was so much better because of it. And
well,
that's when I learned that.
Your characters have a mind of their own.
Yeah, they do. They take a life of their own. And I remember editing... I've discovered that, you know, you can edit. We did 5 drafts of this, me and my editor on a computer, but you have to print it out and you have to read it on paper, because you find so many more, you know, mistakes and errors and, you know, different little things when you put it on paper. And I remember sitting there reading, it was about, I don't know, chapter like 17 and 18, and I was sitting there reading. And I got to the bottom, to the end of the 2 chapters, and I was like, this is really good. Who wrote this? I didn't remember writing it. I was
you were in the story. That's hilarious.
I had totally forgot what I'd, you know, I was in a zone, and it was just flowing, and I was like, this is really good. Who wrote this?
Yeah, man. Who wrote this was excellent.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good sign. I mean, you know, you don't want to read something and say, oh, that's terrible. Who wrote this? Yeah.
I just had to laugh at myself because I was like, man, I was just in a zone when I wrote this.
You definitely were. I was wondering, how many writing sessions did you do? Because it seems like, to me, the pace of this, it seems like once you sit down that it did not take a long time. It seems like this just fleshed out.
It took longer than you think.
Really?
Yeah, right. Actually, writing it, you know, of course, this was my first time writing a novel.
Right.
It took about like 8 or 9 months. I mean, it almost probably about a year.
Well, that's not bad.
So I had to work through the block. You know, I had to learn how to unblock myself when I would get stuck. Yeah. And, you know, and I would just, I wasn't really in a rush to do it because, I mean, I was doing it myself.
Right.
So I didn't have anybody, you know, hanging on the door for the next chapter other than my beta group. My God, they were crazy keeping me on track. But, yeah, it took about a year to write the first one. It won't take me as long to write the second one. but, yeah, it took me longer than I thought. But once I would get, you know, once I would get past a block, it was just free flow.
Right.
And then every time I would – what was really interesting is every time I would – think, oh, it would just be really cool to have a new character, or it would be really cool to, you know, I need a place or a name or something like that, I would go to the internet, and within, I kid you not, within 5-10 minutes, something would pop up that I could use. You know, I like finding Edward, I found him in no time. There's a new character in the second book, Asmodeus, found him in no time. It's just crazy because it's almost like divine intervention. You know, it was like every time I would go and meet something, it would just appear. And it was great.
You were manifesting.
I'm sorry?
You were manifesting.
Yeah, I think I was manifesting.
Mm-hmm. Yep. 100%.
So.
That's cool.
It's been so much fun.
So, you know, I could see the research. The research took longer than anything, because, you know, you definitely had to do a lot of research, you know, into your characters and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But you said you started out a plotter, so would you consider yourself a pantser now, or would you consider yourself a mixture?
Oh, no, I'm not a pantser. Wow. Dan laughs because he says he calls himself a pantser.
Yeah.
But I am not a pantser by any size, shape, or form. I have a very methodical... and it's one of the things I'm going to talk about in the workshop at the Imaginarium. I have a very, you know, I researched different ways to write, and none of them really fit. So I kind of mashed some of the pieces, parts from different ones. But I do have a very methodical way that I structure my stories, but it's still allowing for that free flow. You know, it's like I've got the general gist, but I allow for that I allow for the story to breathe as I'm writing.
Right. Right.
If who does that sound like, Holly? Who does that sound?
Yeah.
I embrace that type of approach.
Yeah.
That's mine
yeah.
too. Yeah. Love
it. Steve will kind of outline where he's wanting to go, but yeah, he lets these characters, you know, run wild, walking
uh-huh.
through
and breathe. Yeah. Or
yeah,
new ones pop up.
Yeah.
You have
yeah.
to.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, trying to
and
stifle
I kinda thought
them
that
doesn't
was malarkey.
Work.
I kind of thought it was malarkey that the story takes on a life of its own until mine just ran away from me big time.
Yeah. You're like, okay, I'm in mine no more. It's theirs. I'm just here for the ride.
Yep. Yep. So I have to ask, like, who's your favorite character?
Mine?
Uh-huh.
Gosh, I really like Lilith because of the whole, I go back to her because of the whole spin you put on her, you know? And I mean now, I mean, she may turn into be this horrible person down the road here, but, you know, right now I really like her. I do. And we're just learning more about her other side and, you know, everything in the story. But, yeah, I mean, I was shocked when it come out that she was who she was. I was like, oh, that's just awesome. Yeah. Yeah. I love the spin. I think I even mentioned it to Steve, you know, about, you know, there's a Lilith character in there. My granddaughter, I have a granddaughter named Lilith. And so, yeah, I just find the whole lore fascinating, and yeah, I'd say right now she's my favorite. I know that may be odd because she's not like main character, but I, you know what, those side characters, those B characters, take a life of their own, and sometimes they become the spotlight.
They often do,
Well, and I wanted to, one of the things that I wanted to do was I wanted to highlight a friendship. You know, here you have two just incredibly strong women who have been friends for, you know, 860 years.
Yeah, a long time.
You know, they've been together, and they've been each other's support, and, you know,
and
they've discovered things together, which is, and that's why I wanted to also kind of on the, you know, I go back in time to kind of build their story over the years, you know, how certain things happen.
Right.
The pirate chapter is kind of one of my favorites.
Yes. That's fun. But yeah, I do like their whole, I don't know if you'd say collaboration, but their whole friendship, because where one lacks, the other one picks up, and they have a great dynamic. Really do. And I'm interested to see. Well, I'm interested to see how this is going to pan out, because, you know, the whole Nuriel thing was a little bit of a, like, oh, okay, you know. So yeah, not giving away any spoilers.
Going forward, the second book is called A Hellish Fury, and the third one will be A Heavenly Fury. And so the second book is taking place in primarily New Orleans and hell. So,
fantastic.
And I'll have a lot of fun writing that.
Nice.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah, New Orleans is one of my favorite places, so I know it well.
Me too. I love the Gulf. I love Gulfport, Mississippi, which is on, like, you know, hops, get the jump, like, half hour, 40-minute drive to New Orleans. And I absolutely adore New Orleans. I love the French Quarter, you know.
Yeah.
The whole mystique, the music, the culture, everything. I love it. And witches are embraced, and it makes my witchy little heart happy. I love it.
It is one of my favorite places to be of all time, so. I'm like you. I love the culture and just the feel of it is just wonderful.
Well, and there's people that, you know, actually believe that they got the Creole legends. You got, you know, the old the culture down there that, you know, they do believe in vampires and the ghosts and all this stuff. And I'm like, yes, I'm with my people, you know.
Well, and you already know, I won't tell you which ones I'm pulling in, but you already know I'm pulling in several of them, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't wait to read the next one. When's it going to be out?
I'm hoping around August or September.
Okay.
I'm
after Imaginarium. That's good.
Definitely this year.
Well, post-Imaginarium's perfect time for me because, the next few months are going to be my insane period of time leading up to Imaginarium. Oh, boy. But, after that, I don't get much time to read now, you know, between now and July. But, after that, I can, you know, get a good book and get into it. So that'll be a good post-Imaginarium break for me. And if I could get a Zimmer to take me to New Orleans, reading it down there on the beach with my butt in the sand would be even better.
I think that's a good plan because we need to go
there
down
go.
There. Yeah.
There you go.
Yep. And we're in desperate need of a vacation. So as long as everything, nothing goes too haywire, but it's very likely that we'll get something to send Eva with Holly on down New Orleans and reading her second book.
That's right. I can hold it up, you know, in front of one of the vampire shops or something. There you go. Yeah. That'd be cool. But you said this will be a trilogy. Now, do you have any side quests coming up, or like a novella maybe from some of these B characters that you're contemplating? Or is this going to be like finishing up, or are you going to leave it to where you can pick back up if you want to and do another, you know, an omnibus or something like that? Or, you know, what's your future plans as far as writing?
Well, my future plans is, you know, once I get the trilogy run up, I've actually thought of one kind of side book. But I've got another horror novel that I'm working on. So
okay.
That's not part of this. So we'll see how it goes. If enough people like my writing style, then I'll keep going.
Oh, I don't think you're going to have a problem there.
Thank you.
Not
I appreciate
at all.
It.
Yep. Not at
it's,
all.
It's been an interesting, very, very interesting, and I don't want to sound cocky when I say this because I'm really not. It's been kind of frustrating a little bit because when I would give the chapters and stuff to my beta readers, and I legitimately am saying, you know, okay, tell me what you like, tell me what you don't like, you know, I would just get very minor, you know, minor corrections, and I'm like, no, tell me what you, you know, what do you think? And they're like, give me the next chapter.
Right.
It's just like okay.
It's like feeding a feeding a bear. Give me more. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, well, okay, you know, what's wrong with it? What can be fixed? They're like, nothing. Give me the next chapter.
And then so. You throw chapter 13 at them, and then they're really like, give me the next chapter.
I know.
Holy
yeah,
moly!
Yeah, they're screaming at me for book two. So it's coming. But it has been very, very nice. It's been very sweet, very, very rewarding, I guess, as an author, because I've had so many people come up and tell me that they can't put it down, and that so many people tell me that they can see it turning into a movie and they can visualize it in their head. That's, to me, the best thing ever, to have people just really enjoy my writing. That's the best.
Yes. That always makes it worthwhile, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It sure does. Love it.
Now we've mentioned that, you know, you had your appearance where I first had found out about you with back at Fabled Forest Books. What is your appearance mm-hmm. schedule going to be like? You have some stuff to promote coming up this year and other conventions, other book signings. What's on your schedule as far as that goes?
As of right now, just the Imaginarium. I'm working with my friend Christine Burgess. She is actually I got smart in the beginning, and I hired somebody to help me with the publicity. I tried mm-hmm. to do it on my own, and I quickly realized that nothing was ever going to get written again if I tried to handle my social mm-hmm. media on top of everything else. So I went to my friend Christine, and I said, can you help me? And she's been amazing. So we're actually just now sitting down and talking about, you know, the LaGrange Book Festival, different mm-hmm. festivals or the LaGrange Book Fair, sorry. And just kind of what's going to happen in the spring and the summer that I can, you know, get around to. So we're just building out the calendar right now. So the winter was a little rough. I got the flu, and that kind of put me out for about a month and a half, and you know, it's kind of like everything stopped.
I know how that
goes. If I may endorse the LaGrange book fair, it's a we've always loved going to it, and that's an enjoyable day. Yeah, Tony
that's
runs
a
good show.
Bookstore there. Tell her about the bookstore, Misty Goodman.
No, you're thinking of Lynn Tencher, Holly. We just had Lynn.
Oh, why
Lynn
did I say Misty Goodman?
Because you're
Misty
thinking
Goodman's
of
Misty Goodman's thinking of me. Shout out, Misty. Love you too, honey. She's thinking about me. Yeah, Lynn Tencher has a new bookstore.
Yeah, from the ground up books.
She's doing
From
the ground up, it's called, and she is taking signings and stuff. She's booked up through March, I believe she said. But other than that, you could get on her list too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm looking.
We just had her on the show.
I'm looking to build out my calendar right now. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, we know a few people.
Yeah, Lynn is great. Yeah, I'm looking to go up there for sure myself. And again, LaGrange. Yeah, Tony always runs a class show, and he's a class act.
Oh,
and that's one we always go to and enjoy. That's a pleasant day.
And they do embrace the literary arts up there. I mean, they truly do. It's a little town, but I mean, it's unbelievable. People come from, you know, all around to the festivals and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
Bobby
really cool.
Bobby at Fabled Forest, we will be doing the workshop that I'm going to be doing at the Imaginarium. I'm actually going to do kind of a mini version with Bobby at the Fabled Forest.
Very cool.
We haven't set the date yet, but I just heard back from her, so we're going to be setting that up. And that is such an awesome bookstore.
Neat.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
we've got
it's
to get
great.
Back out there and see Bobby because, yeah, it's been a little bit, but, yeah, we need to get
back
out there.
It's been a minute, but, yeah.
Yeah.
I love local businesses, local bookstores.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm in Carmichael's in Louisville. I love it. And I just, we're trying to connect with, there's an actual horror bookstore that we just discovered in Louisville.
Yeah. Jenny Butcher's.
So we're trying to connect with them.
That's Jenny Butcher's,
yeah,
I believe.
They were at Imaginarium last year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So just trying to build that calendar.
Heck yeah.
That's a good, yeah. It's interesting how in the last couple of years, a lot of new indie bookstores have been cropping up. It's been a good time for that, and some really good ones have opened up. Yeah, you mentioned Jenny's,
everything
and then
perfect.
Of course Lynn's, and then Bobby's, and yeah, it's definitely, and it's being run by people that have a real passion for books. So these stores are really well run, and they're author friendly.
There's a new one, Mooncat in Mount Sterling, I think.
Huh?
Ooh.
That's one I'm not familiar with
Mooncat.
Yet.
Now that one, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a brand new one that just came out.
Oh.
Ooh.
Wonderful lady that runs it.
And with
Cat
in the title. Yes, with Cat in the title. You know me, Holly. They've already got points with me for having Cat in the title.
Well,
I'm laying
here on the bed with my laptop with two laying right next to me. So there's a third out in the living room somewhere because, well, they're not getting along right now. We're trying to get through this, but, boy, it's been a rough road,
yeah.
But we're trying to get them to get along.
It has been.
It ain't working too well, but we're going to do it.
Adventures. Yes, the trial of the tuxedo cats, as we call it. They're all tuxedos.
They're all tuxedos, which is hilarious. Not planned.
Yeah.
And we got Albert and Vicky, which is Queen Victoria and Prince Albert. I named them, of course, because, you know, Victorian period. I love. So we've got that. And then my daughter's kitty, because she was working so many hours and stuff, she couldn't be at home with him like she should. So we inherited Leon, and he's also tuxedo. It's just hilarious. We got three tuxedos and no plan.
Yep.
We just inherited these cats. I wanted to change his name to Lord Melbourne, but
that would be funny.
I know. I'm thinking about I did call him that there. There, we sit there on the couch. I said, Steve, Lord Melbourne. And he was going, meow, meow. He looked up at me. Yeah.
Maybe. But yeah, we'll have to put Mooncat Books down. Yeah, so that investigate.
Yes.
Yeah. Because always new ones coming out. Yeah, because I know Dan keeps a good radar on all the new bookstores around here. He's on it on some of that stuff. But we'll have to check that one out for sure. It's something in our crazy world. Sometimes something slips by and we don't know right away. But we'll definitely
not right
have to
away,
check that
but
out.
Eventually, yeah, our circle eventually pops up. So, well, who does your cover art? I wanted to ask about that. How do you go about doing your cover art, or is it something that you come up with your design or what?
No, I was very blessed. I have a wonderful friend, Leslie Arnold, who she is a graphic designer, but I was working with her, and I just I just happen upon these great people. You know, Christine does publishing for her brother, who runs Stuttgart Motors. So she's done publishing in the automobile world. And I was like, hey, you know, how would you like to try out the literary world? And then, you know, I walked up to Leslie and I was like, hey, how would you like to help me with a project? And, you know, she came up with the cover for both of them. We actually just announced the cover for the second book on Facebook yesterday for Fat Tuesday. So she came up with both covers, and I just can't even begin to talk about how phenomenal she has had it. I told her, I was like, you know, I can't afford to pay you, but can I buy you dinner? But, hey, I could get the word out about you, and you could charge.
Right, right.
But
well, we do a lot of that
amazing,
in Indie World.
Amazing work.
Yes. Yeah, we do a
so
lot
I
of
just
that.
Have to keep begging her.
You know, my best. Yep.
Yeah, I promise everybody, I'm like, if it makes it to a movie, you're walking down the red carpet with me.
There you go. There you
very
go.
Cool.
No,
I think the cover is
very
interesting.
Yeah, I have some great friends that are very talented, and I'm very, very lucky and so grateful to have them as friends, because they've helped me, and they've helped me, you know, part of it is, They're just enjoying having, you know, they're enjoying doing this different spin because they've never done the literary side. And so they're kind of, you know, they love seeing their name in print, and I love seeing their name in print, and I love getting their artwork out. So it's wonderful.
Yep.
You
definitely form a team. Yeah, for sure.
Uh-huh.
I mean, when you're publishing and you work with those people again. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I know that dynamic.
Yeah, you get those dynamics going, and they see, you know, especially cover artists, you know, because you'll have an idea in your head, and yeah, it's fantastic to see it come to life, because I couldn't draw like that or create, you know, anything graphic design like that in a million years. But, yeah, I mean, to see it come to life, it's just incredible.
Actually, you know, it's really funny because I didn't have anything really in my head. They read the book. They read the book. And Leslie read the book, and she just, you know, this was in her head. And a lot of times what I love doing is I love trusting the artist. You know, I trust Travis with the tattoos because I want his artwork. I trust Leslie with the cover. You know, that's her artwork. And it's amazing when you step back and let them just kind of create themselves, you know, use their ideas. You kind of put in a little piece here and there, but
that's
it's
you
yeah,
let them have their creativity.
Let the artists do their thing. I can't do it.
Yeah. Your new cover, I mean, with the female figure that's coming out of the candle flame. It's really, I mean, it's really compelling.
Cool.
It is.
The colors and everything. Definitely looks stellar.
Fits the title perfect. Fits the title perfectly. Yeah, it does.
I told her I don't know what she's going to do for the third book because she's really going to have to outdo herself.
Yeah, because that's going to heaven. So that's going
to
be,
I'm excited to see what
hard.
She comes up with.
And it's hard because you got to have some cohesion, but then, you know, they're totally different. So, that's where a good artist could come in there and pull and make it cohesive and still be stand-alone covers, you know. And it's amazing to see the process. It really is. Because, it's definitely something I could not do, and I'll admit it. There ain't no way.
No,
I
couldn't do it.
Well, on the plus side, I do have to point out that when it comes to angelic depictions and, you know, and biblical imagery and things like that, heavenly stuff does not have to be powder puff at all. It can be very fearsome, very, very intense, very, and sometimes very intimidating. I mean, it can be very powerful. It's not light and fluffy all the time, by far.
Right.
The angels, like Nuriel and all that, you know, your angels that I've met so far in there, they're not powder puffs. You know,
right.
They're not powder puffs.
Right. So there's a lot to work with for the art on book three. Don't worry.
Yeah. You don't need chubby little cherubs, you know, baby.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah.
This is not, like I said, I'm blending good, bad. You know, you're not going to know who's on what side by the time I'm done.
Right. Love
well,
it.
Forget not when it comes to cherubim, Lucifer is actually one of the cherubim. So
well,
yes,
cherubims.
Cherubim are not fluffy either.
That is true.
Yeah. But the cover looks really, really nice, and it fits real well with your first book, and looking forward to that one. Yeah, definitely. And yeah, that'll be like she said, perfectly timed. We'll actually have some downtime, so to speak. We never truly have 100% downtime, but it will be a time where we actually can breathe and have a little bit of, you know, space. And hopefully I can catch up, and once she finishes this book, I can dive into it and read it myself. Because, yeah, you touch on a lot of things that I have also explore a lot and have an intense interest in. Yeah, different faiths and mythical traditions and demonology and angelic lore and all those things are huge with me. So I'm going to look forward to your takes on all these characters.
Really going to like the big bad guy. So
he's going to love Nuriel too. Stephen loves strong female characters. His favorite character is Raiden Valkyrie that he writes. So he loves the strong he's with me.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I'm this big kind of presence that
It's funny because I've got, you know, the men who've read it have all loved it. I mean, it's not just a female. Strong female characters, but it's got a lot of really strong male characters in it too. And the men who have read it have really enjoyed it.
Well, a lot of men like the strong female characters. They enjoy that. And you've got a whole plethora of characters in here. It's phenomenal.
Try keeping
so
them
far.
Straight. Oh my gosh.
I could definitely see how you could run with this. I mean, seriously, you could write some short stories. You could write some backstories on, you know, side character novellas. I mean, you could really run with this in the future, you know, if
so
a character
words,
gets to gnawing at you.
So, in other words, the first book is a triumph of world building as well, then, if from Holly's reaction here.
It really
yeah.
Is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what I'm hearing.
On my wall, I took a wall in my bedroom. And because I was like, I've got to see this visually, and so I literally took the chalkboard paint, and I painted a wall in my bedroom, and I have a mind map of all of the entire Fury universe so far, and I just add to it as I think of characters and things. So every day I get to walk past it and look at it and kind of just absorb the enormity of it. And it's just going to get bigger and bigger as I bring on new characters and how they interact. And some will be for just a short period of time and some will be for, you know, the remainder of this series. So nowhere near done.
That's cool. I've never heard of that either. You know, I know I've heard people like doing vision boards and stuff. I think you're first. I've never heard of nobody actually doing the chalkboard paint and actually drawing out their whole, you know, thought process, their map on that. That's actually ingenious because that's like a daily affirmation, you know.
Yep.
It really is. Mm-hmm.
Cool. You'll love, Holly. The other thing that I use to kind of give me inspiration is when Anne Rice and Christopher Rice wrote Ramses, the new Ramses, there was a Facebook promo where if you pre-ordered the book, then they would send you a piece of the manuscript. And I did it thinking, you know, this is never going to happen, but you know what the heck, I'm going to pre-order, I'm going to send my receipt, and we'll see what happens. Well, I'll be darned, I got one.
Oh, wow.
And it's signed by Anna and Christopher, and it's a piece of the manuscript. And You know, I framed it and I have it up next to my chalkboard wall, mm-hmm. and it's, you know, that's my inspiration. So
that's so cool. Christopher's such a nice fellow. I've had some back and forth banter with him over the years, and mm-hmm. I'm trying to get his butt to Imaginarium. I will one day, but it seems like something's always clashing. And now that Anna's passed, he's happened to take on the main oversight on the two shows, the Mayfair Witches, and then he's got the Lestat show. So he's happened to take over that whole production. So it's been tough.
Well,
he's
actually really supported me. I was really surprised. Yeah. I shared a couple of memories that I had with his mom, and mm-hmm. we've kind of struck up a kind of a social media friendship, I guess you could say, because he's, I'm in the private club, the private group that he's in, that he started, and he's mm-hmm. he's actually shared and supported a lot of my work, which is really, really sweet. I really, really want to meet him one day.
I'll get him one day. I took my sister to the Anne Rice, Christopher Rice signing that they had at Joseph Beth the last one time they were in Lexington, and I got lucky because Anne had a rule where she wasn't doing personal inscriptions at that particular signing, but then the marketing manager at Joseph Beth at the time was a good friend of mine, and she got word to Anne about being my sister's birthday, and I was an author based there and all that, and she actually bannered with my sister a bit and got her a personal inscription, and we got to meet Christopher, and just super, super nice guy. So I can vouch for his in-person vibe. He's a very nice guy. Yeah.
I have to tell you one quick story. And I do not get starstruck by celebrities. I just don't.
I don't either, but I wouldn't.
Great work. Love your work. No big deal. The only time I have ever been starstruck was when Memnock the Devil came out and Anne Rice did a signing in Lexington on Short Street. And I was number, 151 or something like that. And you went in and you wound through this old house, and they had the table set with full setting and the blood in the cups. And then you went around a coffin with somebody in it. And they had characters, Louis and, Lestat and Claudia, and, they had characters running around. And I was smart enough to write her a letter. Thank goodness I did. Because I got up to the table and all that came out of my mouth was, I got so starstruck. I could not say one word. And I left there feeling like such an idiot.
I would have been the same way. I suppose, Steve, we deal with celebrities. We deal with, all these different big, big authors and all that. But I'm telling you, Anne Rice, if I never did get to meet her, it breaks my heart, but I would have been tongue-tied. That would have been tongue-tied.
That would be me with Clive Barker, because unfortunately I can't meet C.S. Lewis or J.R.R. Tolkien, unfortunately, at this time, obviously. But Clive is still with us, and so, I'd probably get that way if I met him. So I understand, I'd look pretty mind-blank, too,
I always wanted to go. Do you ever go to the ball? Have you ever been to the ball in New Orleans?
No, I want to so badly.
I really want to go so bad.
Yes, I want to go so badly.
Well, since you all are kindred spirits, maybe the two of you should plan this adventure, and we should all go to check out the ball.
Really should.
That would be
fantastic. I think that's what we found during the show. Yeah, Holly and Eva are kindred spirits without question.
Yes. So true. Well, if I figure out how to legally make the blood wine, I will set you up.
Oh, geez. Oh, my God.
You never know what's going to happen. What happens in New Orleans stays in New Orleans. I'm just going to say
right.
That's right. That's right. That's the truth.
Well, as we get down toward the end of the live show here, I do want to give you a chance. Where do folks connect with you? Where do you want them to go for our social media and websites?
The best place to go is my website, evavertrice.com, EVAVERTRICE.com. I'm also on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, just Eva Vertrice. You can access the book. You can access it on Amazon through the website. It's also on Barnes & Noble. It's at Joseph Best. It's at Carmichael's, local bookstores, the Fable Forest, or you can just email me, evavertrice.com. evavertrice@gmail.com.
Fantastic, so, fantastic. Now, is there anything that we have not covered in tonight's show that you about your book or anything that you would like to be sure to mention before we wrap up for the evening?
The only thing that I would want to mention is thank you guys so much for having me on this show and for talking to me about my book and about everything that I love. And I'm so glad that you guys are kindred spirits.
Yes. Yeah, this has been a blast, and I knew that I had a hunch you would be a kindred spirit in this. And
to see you guys at the Imaginarium and to do the workshop and the panels, and I'm looking forward to having a great time there.
I think you're going to love it.
Yeah,
I absolutely think you're going to love
will.
It. Yeah, it's going to be a great time, and we're looking forward to seeing you in person. And who knows, we might bump into you before then. Yeah, so let's never say never.
Yeah.
But no matter what, yeah, we will be seeing you there. So that's, I'm looking forward to that. Tonight I look at this as just the first of future visits with you on the show, and you've been a fantastic guest, and thank you. And I'll, at this point, I'll turn it over to Holly to wrap up with you. And yeah, thank you, Eva. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for tuning in with us. And yeah, we'll definitely get you back on here when you're ready for the pre-order setup, for that next that next book, and then you can tell
I
us all about
you guys are great.
So that's going to be a lot of fun. But, hopefully we'll see you before July. There's a good chance we probably will, I'd definitely love to share some red wine. And, well, Steve likes the bourbon, you can share bourbon. But,
That sounds wonderful.
We can talk about all things vampire.
There
you go. Well, thank you for hanging out with us. And, everybody out there, join us next Wednesday. Another great guest, another great time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Live show as always. Be creative for the rest of the week. And good night.